Chrissy here from Suzy Radio, and today I'm absolutely delighted to be talking to Dave Fenton from The Vapors. Hello, Dave.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm really, really good. I'm so happy to be talking to you. Really looking forward to seeing you at Always the Sun Festival. It's going to be a bit of a big day for you because you're coming back to your hometown, aren't you, after all these years?
Yes, indeed, yeah, after 35 years. It's quite a long time.
It is quite a long time. And are you enjoying being back out and about, gigging around?
It's been great fun, yeah. I've been amazed. I mean, we tried out last year. We only booked up 4 gigs, and they all went pretty well, so we thought, well, why not just keep going?
Yeah.
So you know, we're fitting around everyone's other interests, and some people have still got jobs and so on in the band, so... But, you know, it's going fine. We're doing about one a month.
Yeah, those job things get in the way of life, don't they? So inconvenient. Yeah, and I love the way you just introduced yourself at the Half Moon, just coming on and playing Turning Japanese. Was it just the one song and then you just left the stage?
That was it, yeah. I mean, it was good. From the Shakespeareos that were playing, and he texted us and said, if you want to join in, just do a version of Turning Japanese. So we did it complete without rehearsal or anything. We just got up there and launched into it, and it went all right. We got 12,000 hits on YouTube, which is quite good, so we thought, wow, there's something in this.
Yeah.
Do a few more.
There really is, and it's just that seminal song, Turning Japanese, that everybody loves. Played it in the past a fair few times, and people just, the reaction to it is still really great, so it must be great. It's just timeless, really.
Nice, it's still getting played after all this time.
Well, I am and not, because there are some songs that are really just so good, and it's not only people who remember it from the first time around, but people who just hear it and go, wow, who's that, you know? Is it annoying in some ways? Because the term one hit wonder is sometimes used, and that can be a bit annoying because you think, actually, we've done some other really good stuff.
Anyone that knows the band, we do have some other top 50 hits.
Yeah, I know. People should hopefully be motivated to go and have a listen to the other stuff, because it's really, really good as well.
Yeah, we're playing it now after 30, you know, all these songs are 35 years old, and while things have changed a bit, they haven't changed that much. You know, the songs still seem relevant. You're still on the edge of a cold war with, you know, nothing's really changed. I mean, I find...
No.
The only things that I find are a bit awkward, I'm singing about in a song called Secret Noise about, finish your homework so I can take you out tonight. I'm over 60 now.
Yeah, that doesn't quite stand the test of time as much, does it?
So there's little things like that that I sort of gloss over, but...
Yeah.
Generally, it's, you know, nothing's changed.
We love a bit of retro. Now, I know that it's the original lineup, except for the drummer, Howard, got a new drummer, Michael, and I've had a look at some of the clips of him playing live. I'm looking forward to seeing him, actually, because he just looks so cheerful. He's got a lovely, massive grin.
Lovely guy to play with.
Just looks great to watch. It's that massive smile as he's drumming away.
Yeah,
so looking forward to that. And also, is it not too long till you play again with Bruce Foxton, your old mate in From the Jam, so that's coming up, isn't it?
The end of October. From the Jam, which is his current band.
Yeah.
The 28th of October in Salisbury, if anyone's over there.
Yeah.
First time we've played on the same stage as him in 36 years. Like
that. So what happened back in the day? Did you just decide, did you all just think you follow your careers?
Everything that could have gone wrong went right in the first year, and everything that could have gone right went wrong in the second year. The label we were put out on, United Artists, that we signed to, got bought out by EMI Records.
Right.
And all the people we were working with got made redundant, so we got inherited by people that didn't even like us.
Well, that's not good.
That's not good.
No.
John Weller, who's Paul's father, and Bruce Foxton were managing us, and everything came at the same time. We were number 3 in the charts, they were number 1 in the charts, to go underground. And they sort of realised that they couldn't be in two places at once. When the Jam were touring in Europe, and we were touring in America, where was John Weller going to be? Where was Bruce Foxton going to be?
Yeah.
But they couldn't manage us, you know, it wasn't their fault or anything, just the way things turned out. Things just went horribly wrong. Then the follow-up to Turning Japanese was a song called News at 10.
Yeah.
And that came out, but nobody knew it was out. I went to the record company with our manager, trial manager, at the time, and, you know, to see what was happening about the follow-up to Turning Japanese, and nobody knew it had been out, you know.
Oh.
It was release date, and nobody in the A&R department knew it was the release. We were very lucky in our first year in getting signed up and everything going right, but in the second year, everything went wrong.
Oh, I see. Yeah, when you put it like that, it seems to make a lot of sense, because I know you supported the Jam and their Setting Suns tour in 1979, didn't you? And then, as you say, I suppose their priorities had to be one way or the other, so they kind of lost...
They did, yeah. But, I mean, you know, just everything happened at the same time, you know.
Yeah.
But they were suddenly successful and off touring in different places, and we were doing the same. But we weren't even in the same country half the time.
Yeah, life's turns of events. Now, am I right in thinking, I've just been doing a bit of research, that you originally came from Redhill?
Redhill, yeah.
Yeah, because that's actually where we broadcast from, Susie Radio. So that's quite cool. And you went to Reigate Grammar School.
I did indeed.
Yeah, well, that's nice. It's got a lovely little local undercurrent there, so we can just picture you there.
Bound formerly in Guildford, but that's only because I moved to Guildford to take up as a lawyer.
Oh, yeah, so you had the career.
I spent about a year driving from Redhill to Guildford. Commuting for work, but I thought it was just too far. It was 20-odd miles.
I love Guildford. I wish Guildford was a bit nearer, because I've done the trip quite a few times, because it's just such a music mecca, really. Such a creative big area around there, isn't it? So I can see why. And I know, is it your drummer had a record shop, didn't he, in Guildford?
He did indeed, yeah.
Yeah, so it all ties back to there. Next weekend's going to be all good. And I was just looking as well on the internet just this morning, actually, at a video of you, your first time on Top of the Pops. Do you still remember that, with Kid Jensen? And you all looked so vaguely in the mist of time, but you all look so excited. So some big moments way back when.
It was, yeah. Everything happened so fast for us. I mean, one minute we were playing to 20 people in the pub, and the next minute we were playing in front of 2,000 in theatres.
Yeah.
Supporting the Jam.
Really, really good. And another thing I was going to ask you, DJ Jackie Carroll, she supports you quite a lot, doesn't she? Is she going to come over again and support you?
Yep, she's certainly doing some of the gigs. I'm not sure about whether all of them. I don't think she'd be doing From the Jam.
No, I just love her outfit. So she's a real modette, isn't she? She really, like, she looks the part. And she's so into all your sort of, like...
Thanks to our manager.
The music. Is she?
Yes, well,
yeah. Oh, well, I didn't know that. So there you go. Yeah, she... yeah.
Just saying that to the manager.
Ah, all good stuff. So in the future, is there going to be... an album, singles, a video maybe?
Right, so we're still writing songs still. There's a couple of new songs in the set already.
Oh, cool.
I mean, as soon as we get chance. At the moment, Ed's working on a BBC Two programme called, what's it called, Versailles.
Oh, yeah, because he's a director now, isn't he?
In Paris, filming and editing that. So when he comes back, hopefully we'll get a chance to sit down and have a crack at some of the new songs I've put together and see what
It would be great to see a single and a video, at least, if not an album takes so long to do, doesn't it?
But it is just a matter of time and in all in the same place at the same time, because it's been very hard, quite hard to organise gigs.
I can imagine
rehearsals and like that when everyone's all over the place.
Yes, because where do they live? Because you're not that local to Guildford anymore, are you? Are the others in the same sort of area now?
The bass player Steve's just outside Brighton in Hassocks.
Okay.
The drummer Michael is in Crawley.
Oh, he's from Crawley. Another local connection, you see.
Ed is in North London, and I'm further north than that in
Hull. Oh, I see. Yeah, so practices, I can imagine. Yeah, a fair bit of travelling to do.
Somewhere in the middle, sorry, so.
So where do you practice then?
Up to now, it's been the studio in East Sussex.
Oh, okay. It's really lovely to speak to you. Yeah, so I think we're on a very little stage at 3:20, and then you're on obviously the big stage. What time are you on Sunday afternoon?
About 5-ish, I think.
Oh, 5-ish. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll definitely be there, and there's quite a few people who'll be with me who are really looking forward to it as well. So.
Nice one.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time.
Say hello.
I definitely will. See you then.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Cheers, Anne. Cheers, Chrissy.
Thanks. Bye.